Once upon a time, it's the memory. It's like synergy. Life the hardest teacher y'all could ever get to master. Get a test first, then y'all get that lesson after. Steve's never stressing them G's to freeze egos. Please, I just get them in threes like the Migos.
What's going on, everybody? I'd like to welcome y'all back to the Diagnosis Success Podcast. I'm your host, K-Sparks. It's a blessing to be a blessing. We are blessed and highly favored. And I appreciate y'all tapping in, man, every week. You know what I'm saying? And as always, we're going to get started with the word of the day. Something motivational, inspirational. Get you through your day, your week, your life. y'all know what it is, man. I like this word of the day. Man, this is a really good one too, man. So basically, in a nutshell, what this word of the day says, don't let the internet fool you, because not everyone is posting their losses. I like that. Don't let the internet fool you, because not everyone is posting their losses. I think a lot of times on the internet, everything looks so sexy, looks so good, looks so glamorous, because everybody's posting all of their wins, but nobody's posting the losses. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in that, right? They start to feel like maybe they're not winning like they should. They're falling behind, but everything ain't what it seems. You know, a lot of people will post the stuff that's just glamorous, that's great, but they don't post the things that's not so sexy. You know, they don't post when, you know, things don't get good, when they don't get that promotion, when things are bad in their relationship or whatever it is, everything is glossed over. So I say that just to reinforce the fact to run your own race, because a lot of people out here are capping and you never know it, right? It's like it looks good online, but offline it's a totally different story. So just run your race, stay true to who you are, and that is the word of the day. All right. But for today, we got a fire topic that was highly requested. And they wanted me to talk about artists that sound alike. Basically, artists that sound like other artists. They say a lot of times imitation is the highest form of flattery. But on the flip side, some people would challenge that. They'll say that not imitation is copying, you know, especially like in hip hop. Like hip hop, we pride ourselves on being original, not swaggerjacking, not biting styles, being creative, being original. So we're going to tackle that topic today. And we're going to talk about four different artists that sound like other artists and how that played out for them. Maybe you'll be familiar with some of these people. Maybe you're hearing about them for the first time, but that's what I like to do with this podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like we get you in the loop. Maybe you're in the loop or out of the loop, but either way, we're going to give you a dope perspective. All right. So number one, we're going to talk about Jay-Z and Angelus. Full disclosure. Some of you know, some of y'all don't know. Angelus is family. That's my brother. All right. I've known him for several years. And for some of you that aren't familiar with Angelus gained a lot of notoriety off of the mixtapes for sounding just like Jay-Z. Just like Jay-Z. All right. Like there's no discrepancy. Matter of fact, I'm going to put a clip right here from an interview he did with Miss Drama so you could kind of hear their discourse.
And then go sell it to those people and do what you got to do in order to do what you need to do. There's people I know on the block that's nice. That's I would say, far beyond nice. But what are they doing with it? And then you really have to look at who they're trying to sell their music to or market themselves to. And then they have the mind frame, I got to go to a label and then I got to go do this and I got to, instead of doing it themselves.
All right, the first word we're going to use is Blackberry.
All right, Blackberry. Have Merry Christmas, this is nothing to play with. Exchange hits, you don't know how that J shit ain't faded, fadeless. Throw another word so I can exchange
polar.
This. Polar, it's solar. Oh, don't bruh, come across me and I won't approach ya. I hold up shops, I don't know that, but I hold a Kodak, but you don't understand, I owns that. Yeah, I'm prone black to do things. You could move through loose strings, but I don't care, I know how to maneuver things.
Acrobat,
have a gat, I have a habit of having a gat. It's not that, but I'm extracting a rap, but still I'm extravagant. I'm kind of magnificent if you have start a tad different. If you don't understand, but yeah, I have those things with.
Cornball.
All y'all don't understand, I might fall y'all. I ball off till I do fall. You don't understand, I'm not RuPaul, but I smack you in your face till you get blue balls. True dog, you understand, I could move y'all. Kind of down south, pound amount. It don't really matter, I drown them out. I'm around about.
So as y'all can see from the clip, you know, his voice sounds like Jay-Z. A lot of people ask me, like, was he putting on, was he fronting to sound like Hove? I can tell you 110% no. Like, he sounds just like Jay-Z. That's his God-given voice, right? he can't help it. It is what it is. He sounds like who he sounds like. You know, I'm going to give y'all a breakdown of what happened before we transition to the next artist. So long story short, we started putting out like a lot of mixtapes. We were signed to a management group called K-Class Entertainment. It was myself, Angelus, Kid Cudi, and another artist from Cleveland. So it was the four of us, basically. And we started getting a lot of buzz, a lot of traction. Angelus specifically for him sounding like Jay-Z, but not just because he sound like Hov, but he actually could rap. Like, he is nice. Like, he can put words together, make them flow, crazy wordplay. And because he sounds so much like Hov, that's why the label started to take notice. So as the label started to take notice, also did Rockefeller, right? So, you know, there were rumors that Jay-Z was like, yo, who is this kid? Right, like, who is this kid that sounds like me? Like, and rumor has it, Hov said, well, if anything, he could do my drops for me. You know what I'm saying? If anybody ain't familiar with what a drop is like when you listen to the radio and say, yo, this is Jay-Z, you listening to Hot 97. So that's what he was saying, basically. That was the rumor that Hov said, well, he could do my drops that I don't feel like doing. So, Angelus tearing it up in the streets, mixtapes going crazy, DJ Clue, DJ K-Slay, Hot 97, XXL Magazine, getting all kind of features, mixtapes just going crazy in the streets. And of course, naturally, because the mixtapes were going crazy in the streets, there was a natural progression for the labels to want to sign him. So back then, the deals were crazy. So full disclosure, and I don't think I ever spoke about this before. So full disclosure, back then, they offered $1 million deal was on the table. $1 million, right? That was the deal to sign Angelus. And at the time, K-Slay was rocking with his hard body. And, you know, it's no secret in the industry. Everybody knows K-Slay was not fond of Jay-Z, like, straight up. He was not fond of Hov. And basically, like, he was all with it. He was like, yo, listen, I don't care that you sound like Jay-Z. I'm willing to get behind you, to work with you or whatever. But our management at the time, they wasn't jacking it, you know, because, of course, you got to compensate somebody for their time. Slay was very connected. Rest in peace. Solid dude, real dude. But the management we had at the time, they didn't want to play ball. So that fell through and pretty much Slay signed Papoose. And, you know, the rest is history. Papoose went on to do what he did with K-Slay. They did some great things. But the buzz started to die down for Angelus. You know what I'm saying? So when the buzz started to die down, despite he sounded like Jay-Z, nobody really cared after a while, right? It kind of just simmered down. It's like, all right, you're the guy who's nice, and we know you're nice, but the novelty has worn off. So as that progressed, my buzz started going crazy at this time because I was doing Manic Mondays every Monday for every year. Basically, I was just dropping a new song, exclusive, right? And then Cudi was going crazy too because he got with Plain Pat and that linked him with Kanye West. So he was about to drop Day and Night. I remember he played that for me. That went crazy. So we were all going crazy at that time, but his buzz was starting to decline. So, you know, my thing is like, even though he sounded like Jay-Z, even though he came under scrutiny for that, that's still my brother. So I believe, like, you know, I believe in loyalty and I believe in people sticking together. You know what I'm saying? So when my buzz started getting crazy, all the mixtapes I was putting out, album projects, I held them down. I'm like, yo, come do these features, man, because the buzz is getting crazy. I'm starting to get with all these different brands and all this stuff. So, you know, I had him hop on the track called Gold Chain that went viral in the underground. So we put out the acapella. A lot of producers started remixing the song. So we had that buzzing in the streets and online. Matter of fact, we're going to go to a clip so y'all could actually hear a snippet of that track.
I've been here on the block rocking the king gear. Men fear the box, I'm hopscotching the grim year. Sincere compassion with captains clapping them things here. Sincere, since you do it big like you Kim, yeah, yeah. Bitches don't know how to pitch a son soul. I'm as sick as some coals. You can visit some bitter bums.
So as y'all can hear, like, yo, the track was hard. Gold Chain was going crazy in the streets. Buzz was still there. But, you know, like I said, the notoriety on his side kind of was still dwindling down. You know, and to the point that people kind of really like lost interest. And I think that's a big part of the music industry, right? Like, everything is timing. Like, you got to strike while the iron's hot. Because if you don't, unfortunately, like, people will lose interest rather quickly, you know? And essentially, I mean, that's what happened with his situation. you know, it just kind of like dwindled down. I mean, he's still doing his thing. He's putting out new singles right now, you know, but I say all that to say he faced a lot of backlash for sounding like Jay-Z. Like, even though people knew he was nice in hip hop, it just seemed like that was like a stigma. Like, yo, bro, you're a biter. Like, you know, we think that you're putting on, which is crazy because he was not putting on. That's just how his voice sounds. That's what it is, you know? So it was unfortunate. I don't know if maybe it's because Jay-Z was who he was at the time and he was so influential. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But that's how that played out, man, with Angelus. Now, going on the flip side, there is another artist, which maybe y'all heard of him, maybe you didn't. October London, right? October London. So October London is signed to Death Row Records. Snoop Dogg signed him. Phenomenal talent. Phenomenal talent. I love his music. I think he's talented. He's great. He's amazing. Talented writer, talented vocalist. But he sounds identical to Marvin Gaye, right? Identical to Marvin Gaye. Like I remember when I first heard his record, I was like, oh shoot. I'm like, yo, I was listening to WBLS and I'm like, yo, Marvin Gaye, they got some vintage Marvin Gaye that's not released. I'm like, yo, I'm with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, how I ain't hear this Marvin Gaye joint before? This is crazy. But then I realized this is October London. This guy sounds identical to Marvin Gaye. You know, we'll put some links to these artists down below so y'all can hear these tracks for yourselves. But I was like, wow, this is amazing. I was like, you know, he's so talented. And I noticed the stark difference between how the public receives October London's music as opposed to Angelus. Everybody loves it. You know, when I look at the feedback, people listening to it, young people, old people, they love that vintage soul. And I don't know if there's a difference between how hip hop heads and hip hop purists view and embrace their music as opposed to R&B listeners, because I noticed that the only backlash that October faced was from Marvin Gaye's family at one point. And not even the whole family, it was just certain family members. You know, the estate felt a way like, yo, like you're jacking Marvin's whole style. Like you're wearing the orange beanie, you know, you're dressing like him, your cadence, your tone, everything. Like you're jacking the whole style, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like Marvin said, what's going on, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like yo, they were like, yo, what's going on with this dude, man? But the general public embraced it. So I think that's a good point as well. Like it seems like at least artists that sound like other artists, from what I could tell, R&B tends to be more accepting of this thing, you know, as opposed to hip hop purists who's like, yo, bro, you jacking flows, you jacking styles, right? So, you know, yeah, October is presently doing his thing. He's killing it. He's touring. And kudos to him, man. Talented artist. You know, love the guy's stuff, man. So nothing bad to say about that, man. But definitely check him out. So there's two more, man, that I made notes of here. So the third one is Nas and Your Old Droog, right? A lot of y'all probably might not be too familiar with Your Old Droog, but he put out a song on the internet a couple years back, and it was basically his coming out party. Pause, like, you know, it's mixtape or whatever. And people thought that it was Nas, right? Putting out this stuff in the underground just to put out fillers and stuff like that, because he sounded that much like Nas. Like the cadence, the wordplay, the bars, like the production sounded like something Nas would rap over. Like he sounded identical to Nas. And the crazy part about it is that I noticed like maybe there was a shift culturally from when Angelus came out to now, because people were actually relieved. You know what I'm saying? Like they were relieved that this guy was spitting these bars, and he's still around to this day. I mean, he's still doing his thing independently, obviously not like on a major level, but the kid has a following. He's doing his thing. Can he rap? Absolutely. He got bars. I like how he gives it up musically. His stuff is on point, you know, but I just notice how it's a stark difference between back then when we were doing music, so much backlash, so much ridicule, to now where people more embrace this, right? So I don't know if that's the difference between our generation versus the new generation, how they consume music. They don't care about it being so much original. As long as they can bop to it, as long as it's a beat to it that they can vibe with, they with it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Your Old Droog is another one. And the last one that we're going to talk about, and like I said, we'll put these links below so y'all can see for yourselves. Eminem and NF. All right. This is a very interesting one because there are a lot of similarities between Eminem and NF. NF is a talented rapper. I think he's dope. But also, I think that the marketing that they put into him is very intentional and interesting. And I'll say that because the similarities are like in your face. You couldn't even ignore them if you want to. You know, we all know Eminem, 8 Mile, talented, one of my favorite rappers, dope lyricist. And it seems like NF, you know, the label, the people around him, they intentionally marketed him a certain way. He had the Scully, like Eminem from 8 Mile, no jury, you know, he's just rapping, rappity rapping. You know, flows, cadence, a lot of anger, right? Like a angry white boy, right? With all this anger and this tension, just getting off, right? Pause. And, you know, initially, I forgot what label he was signed to, but the label marketed him as a Christian hip-hop artist. So in the beginning, that actually helped him, because even though he sounded like Eminem, the only real difference was he wasn't cursing. Right. But the rage, the anger was there, the lyrics, the flow, the cadence, the cinematic hip hop beats. Right. Like it was all there. So, you know, I think that marketing really helped him a lot because, you know, for lack of better words, like marketing music and making music is like drugs, to be perfectly honest with you. Right. It's like you make a product, supply and demand. I'm gonna make my product exceptionally well and better than everybody else's product, and I'm gonna market it to a certain demographic. So when you take a guy like NF, who basically they marketed him to that Christian demographic, y'all gotta understand, like, they didn't have anybody like this, right? There was no white rapper that was rapping at his level that could reach that demographic, right? So whether he's talking about some emo stuff, some stuff that they could relate to, whatever it is, they formed that connection with him the same way Eminem was able to form that attachment to that white demographic that felt they didn't have anybody dope in the space that could represent them, represent their interests, represent their struggle. So, you know, of course, when you take supply and demand and you market this kid in a Christian demographic, he's gonna blow up. And that's exactly what he did. But the crazy thing about it is that once he got to a certain point, it became like, well, I'm not a Christian rapper. Right? So that was the plot twist. It was like, they did all of this marketing and all that, and he's like, yo, I don't want to be labeled that no more. And, you know, he doing what he does. You know what I'm saying? More power to him. So, you know, I just feel that his marketing approach was very interesting. You know what I'm saying? So I know there were a lot of Christian hip-hop fans who felt the way, like, yo, this dude basically used us. Like, he used us to get sell records, get on, get popping, and then he's like, yo, he's not a Christian rapper. It's like a bait and switch kind of thing that they took it as, you know? I mean, me personally, to each his own, right? You know, everybody's entitled to growth. And whatever that growth looks like, hey, more power to you, bro. You know what I'm saying? But this kid has the same intensity as Eminem. I will say that. So, you know, that's another one that's definitely, you can see the similarities, right? So, you know, those are four joints that I broke down. You know, me personally, I feel that when people are being themselves and they're being authentic, that's all you can ask for. People can't really help their voice, right? Like, you are who you are. Like, if I meet somebody who's got the same voice as me, it is what it is. It's my God-given voice, right? I think people start to take offense or feel a certain way when it's a blatant copying of style, right? So someone's blatantly trying to be somebody else, they swagger jack and they taking their whole vibes, that's when it becomes like copy and paste, right? It's like, yo, you're not a, what Jay-Z say, you're not a biter, you're a writer, right? Like, you know, you're copying someone else's style. So it's very interesting. It's interesting to see the state of music right now, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what used to be unacceptable that has now become acceptable. So, you know, it's good. It's interesting to see, you know, we're going to see what comes of this. And, you know, I'm interested to see what y'all thoughts are on this topic. Are y'all cool with artists sounding like other artists? Or do y'all take exception to that? Are you like, nah, I can't rock with this dude because he sounds too much like Biggie? Or nah, this dude, he sounds too much like Pac, man. You jacking his swag, bro. You know, like, you need to be yourself. Like, how important is originality in music? You know, and is there a double standard with R&B as opposed to hip hop? Do y'all feel that hip hop purists are way more critical regarding originality as opposed to R&B? Or do you feel that the times are changing and now people just embrace this all together because there's not that much great music out there? So anytime someone hears a great record, even if they sound identical to someone else, they're willing to accept it. It's a great topic, right? And it's, you know, I like to hear y'all thoughts. I'll put links down below to all the artists that we spoke about. And I want y'all thoughts, man. So, you know, let me know what y'all thinking, man. Until next week.
Here's three reasons why you should hire a Sync agent. Number one, less competition. Sync licensing companies normally have thousands of artists, but Sync agents normally 30 to 50, which increases your chances of being heard as an artist. Number two, bigger payouts. Since there's less competition, your music is more exclusive, which increases the value of your songs. Number three, access. Sync agents have less artists, which makes it easier to reach them if you have issues or opportunities. Make sure to follow for more music licensing tips.